Just to know you and to make you know we lift your name on high. Shine like the sun, make darkness run and hide. We know we were made for so much more than
today we continue our sermon series, Thrive, where we're learning to do more than just survive. We're going to thrive for the Lord. We've been studying Romans chapter 12, and we've been learning some important things. In verse 1, we learned this is the way to worship God. Give your bodies to God because of all He has done for you. We should be a living sacrifice and a holy sacrifice for Him. In verse 2, we learned this is the way to know God's will for you. Don't copy the behaviors and customs of this world, but let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think. In verses 3 to 5, Paul told us to be humble because we are all many parts of one body and we all belong to one another. Christ is the head of the body, and all of you together are part of the body. Each of you is a part of it. In verse 6, we learn that in His grace, God has given us different gifts for doing certain things well. We call these spiritual gifts, and these gifts are to be used to serve one another. You discover your spiritual gift by trying a variety of ways to serve others. You can cultivate and develop your spiritual gift and get better at it, but you need to be humble enough to serve outside your area of giftedness when required. And if you see something that needs to be done around here and nobody's doing it, that may be your spiritual gift to serve in the church family. So far, we've talked about these spiritual gifts: the voice of prophecy, the shoulders of serving, the mind of teaching, and the words of encouragement. And I'd like to invite you to stand and read with me, starting in verse 6. And let's see what the next spiritual gift is in this list from Paul. In His grace, God has given us different gifts for doing certain things well. So if God has given you the ability to prophesy, speak out with as much faith as God has given you. If your gift is serving others, serve them well. If you're a teacher, teach well. If your gift is to encourage others, be encouraging. If it is giving, give generously. And so today, our message is going to focus on what I'm going to call the heart of giving. The Greek word metadidomai means to give or share what you have. In this word, to give generously comes from the Greek word haplotes, which means in a way that shows a readiness to give more than is necessary or expected. I found this picture to illustrate what we're talking about here. This little girl who is enjoying her ice cream cone is more than delighted to share it with the little boy next to her. That is the heart of giving. Now, the kind of giving that pleases the Lord is not to be motivated by guilt or pressure or to get something in return. Our giving should be motivated by love. God actually set the example. Can you finish this phrase? For God so loved the world, He what? That's right, He gave. He gave His only Son so that whosoever believes in Him does not perish but has everlasting life. You see, the love we have received from God is our motivation for giving to others. But you know, in some churches, the pendulum swings one way. In some churches, the ministry of the church becomes all about caring for the poor. So there is a huge focus on providing food and clothing and money for rent, gasoline, or utilities. And in an effort to meet these physical needs, these churches often forget about the mission of sharing the gospel. But in some churches, the pendulum swings the other way. In some churches, the ministry becomes all about sharing the gospel, so there is a huge focus on personal evangelism and getting people to heaven. But in an effort to meet these spiritual needs, these churches can forget that people are struggling here and now on earth. And that's one of the most beautiful things that we read in the pages of the New Testament. Jesus often stopped and met hurting people right where they were. When he saw people, he had compassion on them. And because of his love and compassion, sometimes he healed them, sometimes he encouraged them, sometimes he blessed them. But that was the characteristic of Jesus. Now, some people might come here this morning and see a message on giving, and they might think, hey, preacher, are you just asking me to give my money? Well, for some, a tithe is really not adequate. For others, a tithe is beyond what they can give. So I think we need some New Testament guidelines on what Paul's talking about here with the heart of giving. I'd like to invite you to open your Bibles with me to something he wrote in 2 Corinthians chapter 8. If you'd like to follow in your chair Bible, you'll find this on page 933. We're going to look at verses 1 to 7. And while you're turning there, let me set this up. The church in Jerusalem was under severe persecution, and there was great need there. And some of the other churches that Paul planted heard about this need, and they were taking up offerings to help. They wanted to give. And listen to what Paul says here in 2 Corinthians chapter 8, starting in verse 1. Now I want you to know, dear brothers and sisters, what God in his kindness has done through the churches in Macedonia. They are being tested by many troubles, and they are very poor. But they are also filled with abundant joy, which has overflowed in rich generosity. For I can testify that they gave not only what they could afford, but far more. And they did it of their own free will. They begged us again and again for the privilege of sharing in the gift for the believers in Jerusalem. They did even more than we had hoped, for their first action was to give themselves to the Lord and to us, just as God wanted them to do. So we have encouraged Titus, who encouraged your giving in the first place, to return to you and encourage you to finish this ministry of giving. Since you excel in so many ways in your faith, your gifted speakers, your knowledge, your enthusiasm, and your love from us, I want you to excel also in this gracious act of giving. Pretty amazing, huh? You see, this example Paul talked about came from these Christians who were in Macedonia. And he tells us they were not financially well off, but they did not let their circumstances determine their actions or attitudes. He says they gave according to their ability and beyond. And they gave freely, not under compulsion. Nobody made them do it. They wanted to do it. But I think what blessed Paul more than anything was this line that he says, they did more than what we hoped, for their first action was to give themselves to the Lord and to us. And I think that's what is involved in the heart of giving. People who will give themselves first to the Lord. Because if he has your heart, you're going to follow his will in his words in his way. Now, there are some different ways that we can give. Sometimes it's a matter of giving our time. Sometimes it is a matter of giving our money. But all of the time, it involves giving our love. Now, if you turn over a page with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 9, I want us to read a little bit more about the principles of giving in verses 6 to 8. Paul says, remember this, a farmer who plants only a few seeds will get a small crop, but the one who plants generously will get a generous crop. You must decide in your heart how much to give, and don't give reluctantly or in response to pressure, for God loves a person who gives cheerfully, and God will generously provide all you need. Then you will always have everything you need and plenty left over to share with others. Isn't that a wonderful promise? But I think we can pull out of this passage some New Testament principles about giving. I think the first thing Paul says here is that our giving should be generous. It shouldn't be what's the least we can do, but it should be generous. Secondly, he says our giving should be proportional. Not everybody has the same amount to give, but give in proportion to what God has given to you. But finally, he says, our giving should be cheerful. Yes, God loves a cheerful giver. The best part is, you don't have to be wealthy in order to give. In fact, in Mark chapter 12, verses 41 to 44, Jesus and his disciples were at the temple, and look what happened. It says, Jesus sat down near the collection box in the temple and watched as the crowds dropped in their money. Many rich people put in large amounts. Now, you could always tell because these boxes were made of metal, and people would bring their money in coins, and when they would put the money in the box, it would make a loud noise going in. But look what happened next. Then a poor widow came and dropped in two small coins. Jesus called his disciples to him and said, I tell you the truth, this poor widow has given more than all the others who are making contributions. For they gave a tiny part of their surplus, but she, poor as she is, has given everything she had to live on. Wow. She gave generously. She gave cheerfully. So what are the marks of a person with the spiritual gift of giving? I think they often feel that God has blessed them with more than they need. I think they don't need the publicity when they give. They often do it quietly and with no strings attached. I think this is what Jesus meant in the Sermon on the Mount in Matthew chapter 6 when he said these words in verses 1 to 4. Don't do your good deeds publicly to be admired by others, for you will lose your reward from your Father in heaven. When you give to someone in need, don't do as the hypocrites do, blowing trumpets in the synagogues and streets to call attention to their acts of charity. I tell you the truth, they have received all the reward they will ever get. But when you give to someone in need, don't let your left hand know what your right hand is doing. Give your gifts in private, and your Father who sees everything will reward you. That is the heart of giving. And so I want to remind you that Jesus is the head of this body, and all of you together are the body of Christ, and each of you is a part of it. And today God wants us to use our hearts of giving so that needs are met and His love is shown. He's planted us right here in this community where there are indeed a lot of needs. And if we use our spiritual gifts in the way God intends, our church will do more than just survive. We will thrive. So my challenge for you today is to ask you this question. When was the last time you exercised your giving muscle? You know, our muscles need exercise in order to stay fit, toned, and to grow and be strong. And the same thing can be said for our faith muscles. When was the last time you exercised your giving muscle? So I want to encourage you to find a way to share your time, your money, or your love with someone this week and use your heart of giving. Would you pray with me, please? Lord God, we thank you so much for this spiritual gift, the heart of giving. And Father, we know that it's important for all of us to be givers, but some of us have a special giftedness for that. But Lord, help us to follow the principles you've laid out in your New Testament, that our giving should be generous, it should be proportional, and it should be cheerful. Help us, Lord, to find a way this week to share our heart of giving with someone who needs it. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Would you please stand and let's sing our sermon response song.
just to know.